Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you, as always, by the great folks over at touringplans.com. Did you realize that touringplans.com has a great blog? Check it out today. It's at blog.touringplans.com, and you're going to find the latest news and information on all of the Disney destinations, as well as lots of little features that will help you make the most of your next Disney vacation. Of course, while you're over there, check out all the great services you get with a premium subscription to touringplans.com, including tools for before your trip, like the crowd calendar, and then access to Lines, which is the mobile app, which can let you customize your own personal touring plan that can save you up to 4 hours in line each day of your Disney vacation. Check them out today and support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 979 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you, and thanks, as always, for downloading the show and kicking off another week with us here on the Be Our Guest Podcast. And as we do, we've been doing it for almost 8 years now. How about a little trip report to get your week started the right way? A little escape down to Walt Disney World. And today we have a treat for you because we have a split stay. So we're going to talk about two of the best places to stay at Walt Disney World, along with some great adventures during the trip as well. And joining me tonight from Dallas, Texas, down in the Lone Star State, we have Jill. How's it going, Jill?
Hey, it's going great, Mike. So excited to be on the show.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you. And I know that for folks that do come on our Monday shows, sometimes we have to book these things way out because I don't tell anybody no. I will tell you sometimes we're booked out for about 6 months, which happens. But thanks for being so patient. We're going to talk about a fun trip that you took last October.
Yes, I'm so excited to share it with you. It's a big trip for my family. I've been a Disney fan my whole life, and my husband went as a kid too, but he really got the bug with me as we went after we were married. And he was pretty adamant that we waited for our big family trip for my son to be three. And, you know, as a lot of the other listeners, I'm sure, are ready to get down there with their babies, and I was too, but he was adamant that we needed to wait until he was three so he could really enjoy everything. So I have been planning this trip for years.
Well, you know that if you don't wait till they're three, like if you go in there 2 years and 11 months, it's a lot cheaper.
I know. I tried, but the time of year, it just kind of didn't work out. But I did try to spin that we would have saved a little bit of money. And then we ended up having a surprise baby, so we brought a baby along anyway because we had a 12-month-old in tow. So, there was a lot of planning going into it. So my extended family came along. We had my in-laws who live in Colorado, and my brother-in-law that flew down and met us there. And then it was me, my husband, our 3-year-old son, and our 12-month-old daughter at the time. So we flew in and met there, got on Magical Express, and we wanted to stay at Grand Floridian the whole time. Just being a monorail resort, we thought, everybody that listens probably knows it's really great to have that transportation straight to the Magic Kingdom with preschoolers, you know, because mm-hmm. we figure that's where we would spend most of our time. But we rented points for this day, and we just, you know, Grand Floridian is very expensive, so it didn't work out to get the points to cover the whole trip. So, but it was good because we ended up getting to check out Animal Kingdom Lodge first, which I had always wanted to stay there anyways. So that's where we went first, and this is actually my first time staying in a deluxe resort. So I was very excited, and I don't know if they've been greeting guests this long this way, but as soon as we got off of the bus, they were standing there with an iPad, and they called us by name and escorted us, just our family, in. Had they been doing that for a while?
You know, I have seen him roaming around there in that area with the check-in, both for cars, like when you're dropping off your luggage, and where the Magical Express lets off. I can remember back at Wilderness Lodge that they do have iPads. They seem to be more connected as to, you know, getting you right away before you head into the check-in desk, which I think, you know, you're talking about it now, you know, almost 6 months later. And I think that's a great thing because, you know, they always say you never get that second chance to make that first impression. And it really does kind of welcome you to your vacation.
It really did. And my in-laws were really taken aback. I mean, it truly made us feel special that, you know, and I know it's technology that they knew we were on the bus. And so we were the ones that were coming off, but it was just really neat, you know. And so check-in was a breeze, and we had a great experience right off the bat because when we were on our way up to our room, we heard some drumming and turned the corner and there was a cast member playing the drum, and he invited my three-year-old to come and play. And it was just one of those moments, you know, where you tear up and just see the interaction with the cast member and your child. And I had dreamed of, you know, all those magical moments for so many years. So it got me right away. But and then, of course, they hooked him into pin trading because they gave him a pin right away. So we had to buy the lanyard and everything. But yeah, and then we checked in and we had a 2-bedroom villa, Savannah View. So everybody really enjoyed that. The animals were super active the whole time. My husband, after staying at the two resorts, he loved Animal Kingdom Lodge more than Grand Floridian, just because of the peacefulness of it, you know, just to be able to hang out on the balcony.
It's such a unique experience, and until you stay there, you don't get it, because for years I didn't stay there because I kept thinking it was going to be too remote and I was going to be too far away from the theme parks. You know, I just heard that, and I'd seen pictures of it, and it, for some reason, like the outside aesthetic didn't really seem to do it for me until I actually went in there. Went to, like, we're going to talk about Boma here in just a second, but you know, I went to Boma and got to kind of explore it just by eating a meal there, and then we took the leap and stayed there one time. And you mentioned like the drumming. This resort seems to have like a heartbeat of its own more than the other resorts, especially like the moderates that we stay at typically. And I compare it to Wilderness Lodge. We don't stay at any other deluxes too much, but it seems like there's always some kind of like a tour going on around the resort at some point. Like you can see them from the bridges above, or somebody's drumming or playing some other African instrument. It really does. I mean, as soon as you walk in that gigantic, gorgeous lobby, it just seems like you're in the middle of this this other world, even outside of the theme parks. I really like that.
Totally agree. It's a great energy there, you know, and it's kind of a cross between energy and calmness. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's very unique. And the theming, I think it's my favorite theming out of all of the resorts after staying there. And it was my first time there too, and we absolutely loved it. And the cast members, I mean, they're great everywhere, but there was something special here. So we just settled in, and then we went to Boma that night for dinner, and I know it's very popular. That was my first time eating there, and it definitely lived up to the hype. You know, everything that we tried was really interesting. Of course, they had, you know, plenty of offerings, so even my three-year-old would eat a few things. He's very picky. But we really enjoyed it. And the thing that stood out to me were the spinach Samoas. I don't know if you've ever tried those. Do you know what I mean?
No, because I'm not a real big spinach fan, so I doubt I would. There's so much. The good thing about Boma is that it's a buffet. So if you think you don't like, I'm just like, there's too much that I like that if I have a chance that I'm not going to like it, I usually don't take it. I probably shouldn't be that way. But what was it about them, that the spinach Samoas that you like so much?
It's just a neat appetizer. You know, it's kind of like a spanakopita, you know, the Greek appetizer, but with an African kind of Indian flavor. It's really good. So I would highly recommend it. But everything was fantastic there. And it was super busy. I'm sure it always is. But they did a great job of getting us in and out. And of course, it was nice that it was so close to the room so we could get the kids to bed, sleep, and get ready for our first day in the parks.
You know what? After eating at Boma, you just kind of want to stumble back to your room, because when I'm there, I'm like in a food coma because it's so good. And let me ask you this before we leave Boma. Zebra domes. Did you have a few, I hope?
No, I didn't. And I've heard of them for years, but I don't know if it was just a distraction of the kids or what. I don't even remember what I had for dessert. You remember what it's like to have a three-year-old
trust
at dinner.
Me. Fortunately, the youngest is eight now, and the other one's in college, but they can still have their moments. Don't worry. It doesn't all go away. All right, so it looks like the next day you guys kind of set up your schedule where you're at Animal Kingdom Lodge, you're going to Animal Kingdom. I mean, that's the way to do it, kind of your first full day down there. So tell us about that day.
Yeah, and the other reason is because we transferred over to Grand Floridian on Sunday. So I had a long internal battle about that choice because I had always imagined taking my son to Magic Kingdom first, you know, but it just made sense to go to Animal Kingdom while we were up in that area and then save Magic Kingdom for the next day when we'd be moving over to that resort. But it was great. You know, I have to say that I know Florida is hot. But we somehow thought that going late October that we might be able to wear jeans and I don't know. I definitely did not pack right for this trip. I was hot the whole time and I thought it would be a little bit cooler. So I learned from that mistake. But I did experience some Animal Kingdom hot in October, but it was great. You know, with a three-year-old and a 12-month-old, you're limited in what you can do. So we really just did the safari. We did Flights of Wonder, walked around a bunch. They spent a long time in Dinoland, you know, the little
play. I saw that in your notes, and it's like every parent right now is feeling your pain. I have been drawn into that playground and just like sucked in like a black hole. It's like almost impossible to get your kids out of there.
You're in Disney World. We have playgrounds at home.
We have playgrounds at Burger King. Come on, let's go do something fun. I know.
But that's the mind of a child, you know. So, and that was fine. It allowed the adults some time to just sit and relax and let them play. And we tried to save some money this trip, especially because kids just don't eat that much, by not eating quick service for every lunch. So this was one of those days where we just had, you know, lunch meat and peanut butter and bread at the resort, and we packed some sandwiches. So I definitely like doing that, you know, and then you don't feel as heavy and you can eat a really big dinner.
I've seen folks do that as well. And I'm telling you, like after you've been there a few days and you've had either heavy table service meals or greasy counter service meals. And I know I don't always have to get something greasy at the counter service, but I guess I do it. I don't know why, but I see folks eating, you know, just cold cut sandwiches in the park and I'm thinking, man, that looks so good. And it's so practical. You don't have to wait in line. You don't have to waste your time and you're saving a lot of money.
I mean, I love all the food down there, but it just makes sense and you don't feel so heavy because after a few days, I just kind of get sick of being full all the time. So that was good and easy with the kids. And we did Festival of the Lion King, and Liam got picked, my three-year-old got picked to go. And, you know, when they bring the kids out and circle them around and everything, so that was really fun to watch him do that, and he enjoyed the show, but there's some parts with fire in it, and so that kind of scared him a little bit. So throughout the trip, we learned what he likes and what he doesn't like. You know, you never really know until you get your kid down there what you think might scare them they love, and then, you know, the opposite.
Yeah, it's
true.
I mean,
they're going to love something.
Exactly. I mean, how many times does a kid, you know, three-year-old come across somebody with fire? You know, it's like, it just, oh yeah, that happens every day, you know, in Dallas, you know.
Right. All he knows is it's hot and he shouldn't touch it. So.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was a great show. So that was it for that day. We went back to the resort and we had some friends that live in the area and they came back and we went swimming and that pool at Kidani Village. I love it. Especially for little kids, the way that it's spread out with the splash pad area, it was fantastic.
And it's hidden too. If people visit Animal Kingdom Lodge and maybe you're staying up in the Jumbo House and you're going to explore the resort, which I encourage everybody to do because I still think, and I like split stays. I even like sometimes going to three different resorts because the resorts are a huge part of my Disney vacation. But if you're going down to Kidani to see the pool, you got to kind of follow the parking lot and go off almost to the left as you're looking at the building. It's almost hidden, but when you get down there, that is a charming and exciting pool for everybody. It's really well done, like you said.
It's awesome. You're right. It's not intuitive at all where you think it should be, but, you know, and I guess that's because of the animals in the middle. So, but yeah, we loved that. So that was a highlight too. And, you know, you always hear how kids, the highlight for them is the pool. And it was the same with my son. He just didn't want to leave the pool.
Yeah, I know. That's what they do. So now, I see that you did Boma the first night, your arrival night there. And then you top it off this night with Jiko. So tell us about your experience at Jiko.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so we didn't want to bring the kids there, so we ended up taking shifts. So two of us stayed up with the kids, and one group went down and ate, and then the other group came up to stay with the kids, and then the two went down and ate. So that way we could enjoy it without having to, you know, find things that they ate. And so that was really worth it. I highly recommend that if you go in a large group with kids to do that one night and just enjoy some time away from the kids where you can really just talk as adults and enjoy the food. But when I went down, the later shift, and the wait was really long. So it was kind of a bad first impression because we had had a reservation for so long. We ended up waiting 45 minutes.
Wow.
But it was definitely worth it. And, you know, the cast members were so knowledgeable about everything on the menu. I love wine, and so we spent a long time choosing wine and had the flatbread appetizer. I'd heard about that, and it was really good. And I had, of course, to get the steak and mac and cheese, and that was fantastic, too. I can't remember what my mother-in-law got, some kind of steak. And I know my husband got the steak and mac and cheese, too, and loved it. That was his favorite meal. But, yeah, the whole ambiance and everything there. I mean, it, for us, when we go down, we will have to go to Jiko. We loved it so much.
That's one of the few places that I haven't eaten at Walt Disney World still, and I kind of kick myself because we do stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge now. We've stayed there three times, and I've even done the tour where you go into Boma, and then you go through Jiko and got all the backstory on the restaurant, got some of the samplers, the flatbreads. They gave us you know, some dips and chips and stuff, and I enjoyed it. But you know, I think it's one of those things where I'm more adventurous. This is why I like cruising, because I'm an adventurous eater. I like seafoods. I like to try things. My wife, not so much. So we're going to have to kind of, because she likes steaks, and I'm sure, I know she loves mac and cheese. So right there, every person that talks about this, this entree loves it. So sounds like we'll have to do this summer.
Yeah, no more excuses. And you need to try it. Yeah, it was really good. And a great place to go, just the two of you two. I wouldn't want to take my kids there until, I don't know, probably middle school at the latest.
I'm not taking my
kids. You know,
kids.
It's just a little more quiet.
Yeah, my kids are not going, because even though the one's in college, she still likes chicken nuggets. And the other one would be like, you know, so, yeah, this sounds like a date night. I think, you know, hey, you know, the two sisters go hang out together, and mom and dad have a nice dinner at Jiko. I'm all in for that.
Yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun. So then this is the part that I was dreading the whole time. I was excited about a split stay, but I hated the idea of having to pack up. And when you have a 12-month-old and a 3-year-old, it's a whole new level of packing and unpacking.
Oh, yeah. It's like moving. It's not even packing. It's moving. It's like moving from a house to a house. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So, and it, I knew it would be that way, but I don't regret doing it, but it was not fun. I mean, we definitely lost some time in our trip with the transfer just because of the amount of stuff we had. And if we hadn't have transferred, we would have been able to sit and enjoy our balcony that night and see the animals, but we were preparing for the next day. So anyways, we packed up that night, and there was a snafu with the luggage. You know, we had it brought down and went to Magic Kingdom, and I'll talk about Magic Kingdom in a minute, but it ended up taking, we had checked out, I think, at maybe 8 o'clock that morning. They didn't get us our bags at Grand Floridian until 4:30 or 5. And it should have been there a lot earlier. And there were many calls, and, you know, they were very nice about it, but they just couldn't track down what bus the luggage was on. And we had reservations at Ohana, and I had, you know, outfits that I had bought for the kids specifically for that night. So there was some stress there that special dinner, you know, may have been affected by our luggage not getting to us. And it all worked out, but it was stressful. But I don't think that's the norm. I just think we ended up, you know, falling into that small category of people that they don't get their luggage when they're supposed to.
Yeah, I don't think that's the norm, but I think, you know, it can take longer a lot of times than expected. And I think I've heard this from more than just you, Jill. And I think the best advice with this is kind of like when you fly. Is it anything you're going to need that day? Put it in basically like a carry-on that you take with you, you know, to some kind of a day bag, like those outfits or something like that. Because, you know, we're here trying to help people plan and think about things they might not think about for a future vacation. So I think lesson learned there, because that makes me kind of think about, ooh, because we do split stays all the time. And now that we're flying, we could definitely be in that same situation.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. And I will definitely do that if we do a split stay again, just to take that worry out, you know that you have everything you need. So we went to Magic Kingdom that day, and we were so excited for him to see it. And it was everything that we dreamed it would be. We spent a ton of time in Fantasyland, and, you know, he did all those rides. He loved Dumbo, and Barnstormer was his favorite, and we just spent a lot of time going back and forth in Fantasyland. And we had a special treat. I'm going to end up making a lot of listeners jealous, but I have a friend that works at Disney World, and so they were able to kind of give us some VIP treatment with meeting some characters this trip. And so we were able to be taken back. So we didn't have to wait to meet Anna and Elsa.
Wow.
And Rapunzel and Cinderella.
Wow. It helps to know people.
I know. Don't hate me. it was really great, because I don't think we ever would have waited in line. I maybe would have done a fast pass, but, you know, we weren't sure what he would think, you know, being a boy. He sees all the movies, but we weren't really sure how into it he would be. But he ate it up, and that was one of the highlights of the trip, just watching him interact with the princesses. And, you know, they give him kisses on the cheek and leave their lipstick marks and everything. It just was adorable.
Yes, those are the best pictures. So, those are so cute.
Yes, yeah, it was adorable. And then we got to do Magical Words with Mickey and had a great time there, too. It was so neat to see him and hear him talk. We did Casey's Corner for lunch, and that was great. That was actually the first time I've done Casey's. I don't know why. It's just never on my radar. But you talk about it so much, Mike, that...
I've eaten 10 pounds of corn dog nuggets there in my life with the cheese. And now I know the cheese is gone, I think, but I'll still get the corn dog nuggets and the free
sauerkraut.
And they're
better than the hot dogs.
Yes.
We kind of had a little bit of everything, and the verdict was to order corn dogs next time, for sure.
Oh, so good.
So, yeah, it was great, and it was perfect timing. There was a show going on. We had a seat out on the patio, so it was a really, really great day. And then we wrapped up there. We really tried to get back and have a break every day, you know, to let the kids rest. It didn't work every day, but we usually left the park around 1 or 2, went back to the room and rested, you know, that tip that you always hear.
Yes.
So it was a great day at the Magic Kingdom. And then we did Ohana that night. Our luggage finally did come, so I could put them in their cute Hawaiian outfits. And we walked over to the Polynesian from Grand Floridian. Oh, I should probably talk about Grand Floridian and how gorgeous it is.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice hotel down there.
Oh, my goodness. So I had, I guess, you know, I said something wrong in the beginning. This wasn't my first stay at a deluxe resort. It just, I was like 3 years old when I stayed at the deluxe resort.
And this is the deluxe resort. I mean, this is all in. Yeah, exactly.
But when we were kids, we stayed in the Grand Floridian. So I do have some memories of it. And it's, you know, I know that you hear, it's polarizing, right? You know, some people just think it's stuffy and some think it's absolutely beautiful. And I fall into the latter category. I think it's calm and just beautiful and bright and happy. And so we stayed in a 2-bedroom villa. And all the furnishings are just so gorgeous, you know. You just feel so regal staying there. But had a nice view of, we could kind of see the pool and the monorail. And fireworks that night we could partially see, too. So it was a pretty good view. But tons of room. You know, when you compare the 2-bedroom villa at Grand Floridian to Animal Kingdom, you definitely have more room at Grand Floridian. But I mean, I, that's how it felt to us. But you're short one bathroom.
Okay.
So, but it felt like there was a lot of room to kind of lay out all the kids' stuff there. But we absolutely loved it, and that was my favorite resort. So my husband and I will probably have to flip a coin next time to see where we end up staying.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have to do either another split stay or just go twice.
Right. Exactly. There you go. And then I had mentioned before we went to Ohana, and it was really great food. I had expected a little bit more entertainment just from what I had heard and read about it. You know, I know that they do kind of games, something like pushing coconut shells on the floor. And I don't know if we just timed it wrong, but we didn't see any of that. So it was a little bit disappointing because when you have a little kids, you kind of want something to grab their attention. But they did fine, and the food was great. So I would definitely go there again.
Yeah, it's a lot of food and it's a lot of meat, but it's a great meal. And also, I enjoy the sides, you know, whether it's the potatoes, and my wife really enjoys the desserts. We haven't been there in a few years because we were kind of stuck on Kona lately. But yeah, the last time we were there, they did have the coconut races, and they had a lady that went around playing like a ukulele. You know, that was the extent of the entertainment, but it did give you something to kind of look at, you know, besides the waiters running around with skewers full of meat, you know, here and there and everywhere. I mean,
right.
I guess that's some form of entertainment. I don't know. I guess you could get that at your local Brazilian steakhouse, though.
Exactly. Yeah. But it was great. It was really good food.
All right, so it looks like the next day was Monday, and you guys headed over to Hollywood Studios. And I'm interested to hear how you handled Hollywood Studios with little ones, because I think this park is actually not a bad bet for the younger set, because I think there's quite a bit to do there for them. What'd you think?
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all. We got there a little later than we wanted to, but we did Toy Story right away, of course, and he loved that. And then we had to rush over to Hollywood and Vine for our character breakfast. He's into all of those characters, you know, Jake and, you know, Sophia and all of them. So that was great. He loved it. Food was really good. And then after that, we he's into Star Wars, but he's too little for Star Tours.
Yeah.
So we, you know, kind of just went into some of the stores, and he got to pick up a souvenir, but we couldn't. It was disappointing that we couldn't do Star Tours with him. And we did Disney Junior Live, and that was great too. But aside from that, it was really busy, and I can't even remember all the fast passes we got, but we didn't really accomplish much more than that. What other ones would you recommend for preschoolers there?
I would just say, you know, maybe, you know, a lot of times little guys don't want to be in the Jedi Training Academy, but to watch it, because you get to see, you know, the Stormtroopers and Darth Vader and, you know, some of the other Jedi and all that. I think for the, you know, kids that are like three, it's better to kind of stand with their parents and just watch it happen rather than to be up on stage. That's a little bit much. But also, Voyage of the Little Mermaid. I know it's old and, you know, but I think it's very visual and it really pops with the music. And especially if you have that movie at home and your kids have seen that movie, I think that that's a real easy sell for the kids too. That's a fun one. Except when Ursula comes out, I guess she could be kind of scary. She's big.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll think about that for the next one. I definitely want to do more Star Wars stuff with him when we go next time.
Yes.
So, but it was good. He enjoyed it. It was a pretty short day there. And then that night, we actually had childcare come to our resort and watch the kids. And we had an adult night at Epcot to enjoy the food and wine festival. So that was really great. We just walked around, you know, did food and wine, just tried different things and different drinks, and enjoyed walking around the World Showcase, which is my favorite place in all of Walt Disney World. So that was a really great, relaxing night. A
couple things on that. What did you think, just quickly, about the in-room babysitting or childcare services? What were your thoughts on that? Would you do it again?
I would. I was nervous about it, you know, but Disney actually has links, I'm sure you know, to their website, a specific, I don't know if I can say it.
No, go ahead. No, feel free.
I think it's Kids Night Out. I think that's what it's called.
Yep.
And Night, I think it's spelled NITE. So I trust Disney so much that I figured if it's Disney sanctioned, that it would be okay. But, you know, I was nervous about it for sure. But she did a great job. And, you know, they have a specific form that they go over with you to make sure that they have all the information that they need, you know, allergies, if your kids have allergies and preferences and whatever your schedule is for the kids. And she was great. And I, you know, asked her to give me her phone number and put it in my cell phone right there to make sure that she, you know, was able to get a text just so I could text a few times and check in on the kids. And yeah, I would definitely do it again. And again, it's, you know, when you're on vacation, I mean, I know it's all about being with your family, but it's also nice to get away from the little ones, especially when they'd be sleeping anyways, you know?
Yeah, that's it's vacation. You got to have your vacation too. I know how that is. All right, so you guys had the food and wine night, the adult night. I love that idea, by the way. So let's move over to Tuesday. Now, it looks like, you know, this was you thought this out well. You're a great vacation planner, I can tell, because you have the adult night of food and wine, and then Tuesday you kind of chill out because that evening is going to be your Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party. So, you know, I think it's kind of tough for people to chill out and relax on a Disney vacation knowing, oh man, I'm missing rope drop, even though, you know, you'll pay for it later on in the day. So how did you handle that next day where it was just like, we're chilling today?
I think it's from listening to so many podcasts over the years that just knowing my son, and that they, you know, preschoolers get so excited. They just can't process the excitement. And you just, I mean, and I think that goes for any age and adults. I get tired from all the excitement too, but I just knew that we would need to take it easy if we wanted to make it late through Mickey's Not So Scary. You know, it's just, it's pushing the kids a lot to go that late, because I think the party doesn't officially start till 7. And I think our goal was to stay till 10, which we did, but it goes till midnight. So anyways, I just knew that for the kids it would be better. And we had planned on going to the pool, but it was raining. There was a lot of rain this trip. So we really just kind of organized some things. We did a little bit of laundry and watched some TV, sat out on the balcony a little bit, and we all enjoyed it. You know, we were all tired, so it wasn't hard to relax once we knew that was the plan.
Especially when you have a great resort like that. I mean, because, you know, you're paying a premium to stay at a place like the Grand Floridian. You feel guilty if you're never there. I mean, at least I would. You know, I want to be there. I want to enjoy that balcony. I want to enjoy the sights, the sounds that you get, because they're unique. You don't get to stay on the monorail very often. I mean, that's a cool thing to just look out and see, even on a rainy day, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. And I did that a lot, just being the Disney fan that I am. I just wanted to soak it up. So I would make sure I was seeing, you know, the red top of the Grand Floridian, or just soaking up all the sights. But yeah, that's a great point. When you're staying at such a special resort, you want to make sure that you actually spend some time there and aren't just sleeping there. So yeah, I'm really glad we did that. And that way the kids could nap, you know, as they usually do, and be well rested. And we had bad luck with weather again that night. It was very rainy. So that was hard with their costumes. You know, my son, they were, my daughter was Tinkerbell and my son was Peter Pan, and I had gotten him these cute little moccasins, and it just was not a good choice in wet weather.
Yeah, well, so. I mean, I guess there's always next time, but I understand, because you look forward to it for so long, and in your mind's eye, you're picturing perfect weather and trick or treating and all
that. Exactly.
Did you make the best of it? I mean, did everybody have a good time at the party otherwise?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We had a great time. We just were wearing ponchos, and, you know, I brought extra shoes and socks, so he wasn't uncomfortable. It just, you know, was that they couldn't show off their costumes as much. But, yeah, it was great. They did a good job. Lots of trick-or-treating lines. They moved pretty fast, and, you know, the lines were pretty short, all in all. We even did standby for Peter Pan, and I think we maybe waited 20 minutes because that was his favorite ride the whole trip. So yeah, we had a great time. We made it to the fireworks, and they were awesome. That was my first time seeing Mickey's Not So Scary fireworks, so they were great. Now the 12-month-old did not enjoy them, so I ended up having to duck into a restaurant with her while they were going off. Everybody else enjoyed them, and I got to see them a little bit.
I could see that. That happens. But next, they're amazing. I mean, but you'll get, she'll be older before you know it, and you'll all be watching them together, and it'll make it more special that next time, I guess.
Yeah, it's no big deal. You know, just too loud for her.
Yeah. All right, so let's move. Wednesday looks like another relaxing morning. You went to Epcot that night. I want to talk to you about Beer Garden because we had a listener question about this a couple weeks back where they were asking about Beer Garden and is it a good place to eat in Epcot? Is it a good value? What's the food like? I'm a fan of Beer Garden, so I kind of sang its praises. I don't know what you guys thought. What did you think of Beer Garden?
I mean, we love it. I grew up eating some German food, so it's not that foreign to me. So that may be part of it. But I think that there's, of course, they have mac and cheese and things that everybody will eat. But I think the food is really good, and it's not that different, you know. I think with sausages and, you know, pork and lots of potatoes. It's great, though. We all loved it. But I think the best part is just the atmosphere. You know, it's nighttime in there. The entertainment comes on frequently enough. I mean, we saw the band play twice while we were there. And that's great for all ages. I mean, I've been there without kids and with kids and had a great time. It's a must-do for us.
That's a good point. It's a good place for kids because, like you said, there is stuff on the buffet that the kids can find that they like, and they are entertained because basically you're sitting in kind of a tiered terraces there around the basically the stage there where the band plays, and it looks like an old German village all the way around. And so, and it's, you know, you don't have to be quiet. You're sitting kind of communal style. You might be sitting with other families with kids, and sometimes the kids might hit it off and have a good time. I mean, it's a really good place because you don't have that stress of, like you said, if you'd have brought the kids to GECO, everybody would have kind of been on edge the whole time. But, you know, you don't have to worry about that at Beer Garden.
Not at all. And they can get up and dance. And yeah, it's a great place for kids, but it's fun for adults too. You know, great beer.
Yeah, it is big. Yeah, big old beers. Those beers they serve there are gigantic.
I know. They're crazy.
I don't drink beer, but yeah, it looks like I should have one there. So anyway,
yeah. All right, so then you guys went out. One.
Yeah, that's it. So you guys went out and saw Illuminations. Now, how did the baby do with that? Was she okay with that or no, or where'd you go?
So that night, my husband was a trooper, and he went back to the hotel with her right before. He took one for the team, and then the rest of us got to watch Illumination. So it was still a little bit loud for the three-year-old because we actually got to watch them on the dock, but, you know, by Mexico, the Friendship dock in front of the dessert party.
Yes. Nice.
So we got to actually go out there and watch it. So he was right there, and we had to get some little headphones for him to help block out the sound. But yeah, he loved it, and it was great. So I owe my husband big for taking the baby back.
Good guy. All right, so it looks like Thursday is your next day. It's your last day, and you're kind of, you know, it's a sad day because you know the vacation's coming to an end. You guys headed over to the Magic Kingdom, and I think you do what a lot of people do. You go back and just do everything that you want one more time or two more times. You get in those favorites. And I like that you guys kind of ended the deal with a nice character meal to kind of wrap up the trip. So what'd you think of Chef Mickey's?
It was great. You know, great character interaction. He loved the characters. That was the second time we met Mickey and the gang. We had seen them at Epcot too, at the Epcot character spot. So he was just so excited to see him again. And three-year-olds are a really great age where they, you know, they still think they're real, you know. It's really magical at that age. So I'm glad that we packed a lot of character interactions in this trip. But food was great. You know, they have a wide variety of sushi, steak, lobster mac and cheese. They really have everything there. It was a big spread. But yeah, it was a great way to end the night. We had a fairly early dinner, and it was easy, you know, to get on the monorail right from the Magic Kingdom and finish up at Chef Mickey's to top off our trip.
Man, it sounds like you guys had a wonderful trip. I mean, not everything was perfect. You had some rain, it sounds like, you know, and you can't control the weather. And, you know, a little bit of an issue between the split stay, moving from Animal Kingdom Lodge over to Grand Floridian. But it sounds like you kept everything in perspective, made the best of it, and you know, you have memories there with your family for a lifetime and your friends because you had friends down there at the same time. So sounds like a great trip. I mean, you know, any tips you have for our listeners, you know, there's something maybe you learned from this trip that could all help us make a better, have a better experience next time we're down there.
I think what you said about the split stays, you know, about just making sure that you pack your clothes and toiletries, whatever you would need for the rest of that day. But, aside from that, probably with little kids, just don't push them too far, because even taking it easy, we still had a few meltdowns, you know, and I knew going into it that it would be hard for me because I'm such a fan and have studied the maps. And I mean, I soak it all up. So when I'm down there, I want to live and breathe it. But I knew I had to prep myself that we got to go slower, you know, when we've got kids with us. And so just letting yourself know that too, when you're going with children, that everybody's going to have a better time if you just don't put high expectations on the trip, you know, just relax a little bit.
Yeah, it's like a blessing and a curse when you're a big Disney fan, because, you know, the blessing is, you know, that you know tips, like you said, you got to take afternoon naps and you got to go a little bit slower with little guys. But it's also a curse because you know everything that Walt Disney World has to offer. And sometimes it's frustrating knowing that you got to go slow enough to accommodate the kids, but you're going to have to sacrifice, you know, you only have so many hours in a day. You can't be going 23 hours a day and expect everybody to survive. So, you know, it sounds like you made the best of it and you had a good balance there. And, you know, you took some downtime to make sure that you could enjoy things later in the night. And all in all, a great trip. So you guys have anything planned for another vacation?
We actually are going for just a weekend trip in 4 weeks. So we're going to leave the baby here with my mother-in-law in Texas and just go down, my husband and my son and me, and we'll just spend about 3 days there. So super excited. It was kind of it's a work trip for my husband. So, you know, he can't go to Orlando without me. So we turned it into a Disney trip too. So that'll be a fun one.
All right. Well, have a good time. And Jill, thanks so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it. And you take care. And we'll have to talk about that trip as well.
Awesome. All right. Thanks so much, Mike.
All right, don't forget today's episode brought to you by the good folks over at touringplans.com. They're going to keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or, dare I say it, Universal Studios Florida vacation. They have great tools like the crowd calendar, which can help you plan your schedule for before you leave home. And then you'll have access to Lines, which is the mobile application, which can let you make a personalized touring plan where you select just the attractions you are most interested in, and it'll come back with real-time information so that you can see those attractions with the least amount of wait. Check them out and support the folks who support us. They're with us. They've been with us for years and years, and they help us do what we do. So check them out today over at touringplans.com. Do check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are your source for the magic over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. The next Be Our Guest podcast live show, we had our last show last Sunday, and the next one's coming your way on Sunday night, March 20th at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/live. So put it on the calendar, Sunday night, March 20th, we have a date for the live show. So make sure you join us for that. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at Be Our Guest Mike. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And join the friendliest forums on the internet at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. All right, time to get on out of here and let you get on with your week. Thank you so much, as always, for kicking off yet another work week with us here on the show. So for Jill, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Time to get back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.